Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Alhamdulillah, for over a decade, Qalam has had the opportunity and the blessing to serve the community. And after serving the community for an entire decade and benefiting millions of people all around the world, we have reaffirmed our commitment to making Islamic knowledge accessible for all, making sure each and every single person, no matter where they are in the world, they have the ability and the opportunity to learn about the beauty of Islam. So therefore, we are conducting more classes online than ever before, videos, podcasts, recordings, we're making all of it available. We ask you to support us and become our partner in this mission and cause of educating the whole world about the beautiful religion of Islam by going to supportqalam.com. Go to supportqalam.com, make a generous contribution. Inshallah, you are investing into the mission and the cause of teaching people about Islam worldwide. Millions of people have benefited, and we hope that hundreds of millions more will benefit, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Launch good.
Good launch.
Good what?
No, launch food.
Hey, I know it's Ramadan, but we are launch good.
Ooh, launch good.
My mosque fundraiser was on it.
Yeah, my friend shared the Gaza school campaign.
That's us.
Oh, I think they're the ones where you can automate your daily giving in Ramadan.
More than 500,000 people have given and raised over $100 million on LaunchGood.
Join our 30-day Ramadan challenge and support a different cause every day on launchgood.com/Ramadan.
Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Inshallah, continuing with our study of the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Tafsirul Quran. Inshallah, today we are going to be starting with ayah number 79 from Surah Al-Baqarah. So this is our tafsir series that we've been conducting now for quite some time. And we started from the beginning of the Mus'haf with Surah Al-Fatiha, and then we proceeded on into Surah Al-Baqarah. So we concluded with ayah number 78 in the previous session. And today, inshallah, we're going to be starting with ayah number 79. The goal is to complete ayah number 82, inshallah, bi'idhnillah. It's pretty realistic, so inshallah we should be able to reach that particular conclusion. So as we always do in our tafsir class here, I'll begin by reciting the actual verse, and after that I will share what a translator has written on the verse, and then inshallah we will have further discussion about the implications of the verse and what lessons we can take and we can derive from that particular ayah and verse of the Quran. So beginning with ayah number 79, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَكْتُبُونَ الْكِتَابَ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ ثُمَّ يَقُولُونَ هَذَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ لِيَشْتَرُوا بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا فَوَيْلٌ لَهُمْ مِمَّا كَتَبَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَوَيْلٌ لَهُمْ مِمَّا يَكْسِبُونَ. A translator writes for this particular ayah, verse 79, "So woe to those who write something down with their own hands and then claim this is from God in order to make some small gain. Woe to them for what their hands have written. Woe to them for all that they have earned." So that is what the translator has written about this particular verse, this ayah. Now let's try to go into a little bit more detail and understand exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here. So the verse actually begins in a very fascinating way, in a very interesting manner the verse begins. And it begins with a word that actually does occur quite frequently throughout the Quran. It occurs many places in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but this is one of the first places that we are seeing it, so we'll talk about it in a little bit more detail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَوَيْلٌ. The word wail in the Arabic language, what does it exactly mean? So there is a little bit of a discussion about the meaning of the word. There definitely is a lot of evidence in the Arabic language itself historically that this is a word that is used to express great pity, sadness, disappointment in regards to someone. And that's why you saw the English translation, which is a little bit of an old English translation, but the translator had written, so woe to those, woe be to them, woe unto them. So that's what you would hear in old English. It's basically an expression in the Arabic language which expresses remorse, regret, disappointment, sadness, kind of a statement about how sad or how pathetic someone's condition or someone's state is. However, at the same time, many of the early commentators on the Quran are also quoted, such as Atta bin Abi Rabah and some of the others who were the students of the companions. There's even some references to Abdullah bin Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, the great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and commentator on the Quran, that he actually also expressed this opinion that wail is actually the name of a very terrible place in hell. Wadin fi Jahannam, a very, very bad, terrible place in the fire of hell. That place is called wail. So when that word wail is used, while linguistically it is also implying how someone's state and someone's condition is very unfortunate and regrettable and sad and pathetic and disappointing, but at the same time, it's also expressing the idea that, and as a consequence, these people will be doomed to hell. May Allah protect us all. So what's very fascinating is this word wail occurs in just this first ayah, verse number 79 that we've read here today. This word wail occurs three times in the same verse. Three times in the same ayah. Now, when a word repeats itself that frequently, there's only one of two possibilities. The first possibility is that this is repetition. And repetition has a purpose. The most obvious purpose of repetition is emphasis. Emphasis. So that is the first purpose of something being stated multiple times. The second reason to state something multiple times, or not the second reason, the second thing that could be happening if something is stated multiple times is that it's called redundancy. Redundancy, that is redundant. Now, what's very interesting is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not redundant. Redundancy is a negative trait in speech. Redundancy shows that someone's speech is not very refined. Not very refined. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He repeats Himself, He does so for emphasis. He does so for emphasis. The objective here is emphasis when Allah repeats Himself. That's number one. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is emphasizing something. Not only that, but on top of that, because the Quran is the speech of Allah. It is the most powerful, eloquent thing that human beings have ever interacted with. So not only is it emphasis, but every single time it occurs, it is emphasizing, it is highlighting something unique, something different. So it's creating that emphasis about how terrible their condition is and how terrible their fate will be in the life of the hereafter. But every single time it occurs, it's highlighting a different aspect of what has doomed them. It's highlighting a different aspect of what they did that is so terrible. Okay? So now we read, فَوَيْلُ لِلَّذِينَ يَكْتُبُونَ الْكِتَابَ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ. So doom and destruction, misery, sadness is the lot, is the fate. Misery is the fate. Pathetic is the condition. Regrettable is the situation of those people who wrote the book with their own hands. The book. There's emphasis here. They wrote the book with their own hands. What does that mean? It means that they fabricated, they distorted, they amended, they altered, they edited the revelation from God, the religious scripture. They took personal liberties with the religious scripture. ثُمَّ يَقُولُونَ Then they have the audacity to say, هَذَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ that this is from God. So basically, they go into the scripture, they go into divine revelation, and in divine revelation, in scripture, in religious scripture, the word from God, the message from their creator, they take liberties, creative license, they alter it, they change it, they edit it, they subtract something, they add something, and then they turn around and they try to pass it off as authentic religious scripture. هذا من عند الله. This is from God Himself. Now we pause right here, and you think for a moment, who would do that? Why would anybody ever do that? What has possessed you that you would do something like that? You're basically declaring war against Allah. You're basically taking on the creator of the universe. You're picking a fight that you are going to lose. You cannot win. Why would you do that? It just seems like, what is the point of doing that? Well, there's not a good reason to do that. There's not a good point of as to why they did that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does tell us what their motivations were. And their motivations were bad. Their motivations were terrible. Their motivations were unfortunate. But they did have certain motivations. What were their motivations? لِيَشْتَرُوا بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا So that they could then use this distorted, edited, altered, twisted presentation of the religious scripture, religious teachings, that they could take these corrupted religious teachings and make it serve their own agenda, make it serve their own purpose and their own benefit, and they could earn by way of it, ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا, a little bit of material gain. Paltry material gain. ثَمَن just means like money, price, something of value, something that has some kind of like intrinsic value, some kind of market value. قَلِيلًا. قَلِيلًا means very, very little. Something meager, something humble, something small. Right? Like imagine if I was to lie to you, if I cheated you, I lied to you, I made up all kinds of things, I did, you know, all these, you know, I twisted this whole situation and, you know, lied through my teeth and even used the religion to justify my behavior and I did all of that. And on the other side of it, there was like a charger for me. That's what I did it for. I did it for a charger. What would you say? What is wrong with you? I mean, that it's not worth it to mess with the religion of Allah for anything. But for something small, minuscule, insignificant, worthless, for like 10 bucks, 20 bucks, you did that? You sold out your akhirah? You're hereafter for this? For a little phone charger? For 20 bucks, 30 bucks, 40 bucks? What happened to you? What did you do? And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, is that's what they did. Now what is that reference? What is this talking about? This is talking about, if you go back into the previous verses that we've been studying, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling us about the corruption amongst the religious leadership of the nations that came before us. The corruption of the religious leadership of the nations that came before us. How their priests and their rabbis and their clergy became corrupted. And then they started twisting and distorting the religion to serve their own worldly benefit and their own personal agenda. And they did it to consolidate power and to be able to exercise their will over their uneducated and simple-minded folk and masses. Basically to control the herd. That this was the corruption, and this is something that doomed them. It damned them. And it also ended up hurting their communities. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically continuing this. And that's who Allah is talking about here. That sometimes, if there are people who are knowledgeable of the about the religion, and they have the privilege, the advantage, the blessing of knowing their religion, knowing the scripture, knowing the religious teachings, but then they become distracted by worldly things, and they become motivated by worldly things, and then they chase after those worldly things, and then eventually they become so corrupt that they are willing to start selling out the religion and distorting the religion if need be in order to fulfill their own motivations, their own ambitions, worldly materialistic ambitions. And that is a dangerous thing. And eventually they become so deluded, so demented, so twisted by worldly gain and worldly prominence and power and all of the things of this world, that they're willing to eventually distort and change and corrupt the religion and then insist that this is from God just so that they can make some more material gain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَوَيْلٌ لَهُمْ مِمَّا كَتَبَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again emphasizes, فَوَيْلٌ, doom and destruction, sadness, and the lowest pits of hell, misery, true misery, is the result and is the lot of those people, mimma katabat aydihim, because of what they wrote with their own hands. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa waylun lahum mimma yaksibun. And furthermore, even greater misery is upon these people, mimma yaksibun, because of what they've done and what they continue to do. And so this, as I was saying before, this repeats itself three times, not only to emphasize how terrible it is what they've done, but also to highlight different aspects of what makes it so horrendous. So the first thing is that becoming corrupted and so motivated by worldly things that you would dare to do something like this. Second thing is taking the step of actually altering and changing the religion. And the third thing is then using that to basically further your own worldly ambitions and your own worldly agenda. And unfortunately, that's a terrible, terrible fate. In a very terrible way, for someone to basically seal their own fate and doom themselves to an eternity in the fire of hell. May Allah protect us all. In the next ayah, so once again, the point in ayah number 79 is how dangerous corrupt the leadership is. And this is a cautionary tale to those who are in a position of knowledge and leadership, that the one thing you always, it's kind of like when you talk to your doctor, your physician, and they ask you, do you have any kind of history of heart disease in your family? And you say, yeah, my mom had it, my dad had it, my uncle has it, my aunt has it, my grandmother had it, my grandfather has it. That doctor tells you at that point in time, listen, basically for the rest of your life, you need to live constantly concerned about your physical health and the condition of your heart. That's just something you're going to wake up thinking about every day. You're going to think about in the middle of the day, every time you're thinking about what to eat, every time you're thinking about not working out, every time you go to bed at night, that is something you're always going to have to be mindful of. That is your job for the rest of your life. You worry about the condition of your heart. That's your condition. That's your situation. Similarly, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us and cautioning us that if you find yourself in a position of leadership, in a position of responsibility, in a position of knowledge, in a position of authority, then know and understand that for the rest of your life, you need to live with this constant concern, this constant thought, that I need to guard and protect myself from becoming corrupted. I can never become motivated by the wrong thing. I can never sell out my deen. Never ever. And if someone then does become corrupt, then the greater the blessing was, the greater the reckoning shall be for the wasting of that blessing and for the abuse of that blessing. So there are many times, and this is not to demotivate people or discourage people from getting the knowledge of the religion and serving the community, if even if that requires leadership, but it definitely should make you take it very seriously. This is not the kind of thing that is just looks exciting and it's fun and I'd love to try it out too. No, this is a very serious responsibility and it needs to be taken as such. Secondly, for those who are not in a position of responsibility in the community members, the congregation, this is also a warning to the congregants that you need to educate yourself about your religion. You need to be an informed consumer. You cannot let yourself get taken for a ride just because you are too lazy to educate yourself about your deen and your religion. And then thirdly, this also tells us that we should be very mindful and very particular about who we trust with our deen. سُمُّ لَنَا رِجَالَكُمْ. Tell us where you got your knowledge from. الْإِسْنَادُ مِنَ الدِّينِ لَوْلَا الْإِسْنَادُ لَقَالَ مَنْ شَاءَ مَا شَاءَ. If it wasn't for the deen, anyone could say whatever they wanted. So take it very seriously. In ayah number 80, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالُوا لَنْ تَمَسَّنَ النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَةً قُلْ أَتَّخَذْتُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَهْدًا فَلَنْ يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ عَهْدَهُ أَمْ تَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. The translator writes for ayah number 80, verse number 80, they say, the fire will only touch us for a few days. Say to them, have you received a promise from God? For God never breaks his promise. Or are you saying things about him of which you have no real knowledge? So in this particular ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further tells us about one of the very particular fabrications, one of the very particular corruptions that they made in their religious message and in their religious scripture. That they said, لَنْتَ مَسَّنَا, we can do whatever we want. We could do the worst thing. We could reject the message from God. We could do terrible things. لَنْتَ مَسَّنَا النَّارُ. But the fire of hell will not touch us, meaning we will not be placed in hell, except for just a little while, except for just a little bit of time. That's it. We will only be placed in hell temporarily, for a very, very short period of time. Ayyama ma'duda, just a number of days. What did they mean by a number of days? So there's a number of comments. There's quite a few comments from the different scholars and different, companions and things of that nature that inform us of this. Ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, he actually says that when the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina and he had some dialogue with the Jewish communities in Medina, that they said that إِنَّمَا مُدَّةُ الدُّنْيَا سَبَعَةُ أَلَافْ سَنَةً. They said that the world will only last for 7,000 years. وَإِنَّمَا يُعَذَّبُ النَّاسُ فِي النَّارِ. And then people will be punished in the fire of hell. لِكُلِّ أَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِنْ أَيَّامِ الدُّنْيَا يَوْمٌ وَاحِدٌ فِي النَّارِ مِنْ أَيَّامِ الْآخِرَةِ. And in exchange for every 1,000 years of this dunya, there will be one day in hell. So 7 days. فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ سَبْعَةُ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ يَنْقَطِعُ الْعَذَابِ. And then that's it. The punishment of the hellfire will be over. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse in response to that these people are talking based off of nothing. They just make up things in the religion as they wish, as they please. In another narration mentioned by Imam al-Tabari, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and also Imam al-Qurtubi, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, is also quoted to have said that the Jewish community would often say, لَنْ نَدْخُلَ النَّارَ إلا تحلة القسم, that we will only enter into the fire for the duration that we had broken the covenant. We will only be in the fire of hell for the duration during which, the duration of the time when we broke the covenant. And breaking the covenant refers to that we violated the most important principle, and that is the worship of God alone and not associating any partner to Him. Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. And that was basically, of course, we had read about it in Surah Al-Baqarah earlier. الأيام التي عبدنا فيها العجلة 40 ليلة. That the duration during which we worshiped that calf, the golden calf. And that basically was for 40 days. فَإِذًا قَضَتْ, when those 40 days are over in the fire of hell, إِنْ قَطَعَ عَنَّ الْعَذَابِ, then the punishment will cease, the punishment will desist, and the punishment will be over. So this was one of the very particular things that they fabricated, they made up and inserted it into the religion. لَنْ تَمَسَّنَ النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودًا. So Allah gave the Prophet ﷺ a very beautiful response. قُلْ أَتَّخَدْتُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَهْدًا. Do you have a covenant? Do you have an agreement? Do you have a contract with Allah that states this somewhere? And if you do have a contract with God, then you don't need to worry about anything. Why? فَلَنْ يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ عَهْدَهُ. Because God never ever breaks His promise. If you actually have an agreement with God, then worry not. Then don't worry about a thing. Because Allah does not break His word. God does not violate His contract. However, there is another possibility here. تَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. That, or are you speaking about things that you have no knowledge of? About God. أَمْ تَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ. You are saying things about God, مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, that you have no right to say. You have no knowledge of it. You have no authority to be able to say those kinds of things. You're just making up things, fabricating things, just whatever you want to say, in order to just achieve whatever goal that you have in mind. And so obviously, this is a very, very severe reprimand of them. The Prophet, the next verse of the Quran, here, ayah number 81, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to them. He says, Bala, rather, Bala, من كسب سيئة وأحاطت به خطيئته فأولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. The translator writes for verse number 81, truly, those who do evil and are surrounded by their sins will be the inhabitants of the fire there to remain. So in ayah number 81, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bala. Bala means rather. That, you know, it was almost like the previous ayah was kind of challenging them, kind of cornering them. You know, when a person, we say, talks themselves into a corner, somebody says something obviously wrong and they're lying through their teeth. So you say, oh, really, really? And then what happened? Explain to me more. Tell me more. Because you know that they're only going to further talk themselves into a corner. They're going to talk themselves into a hole that they're not going to be able to crawl out of then. So in that way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala empowered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, cornered them. أَتَّخَدْتُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَهْدًا. Do you have some kind of contract with God? فَلَنْ يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ عَهْدَهُ. Then you don't need to worry about anything. أَمْ تَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Or maybe you making up things about Allah that you have no authority and knowledge about and in regards to. And then Allah responds formally, Bala, rather. Meaning the word Bala basically negates everything that was said before it. It is يُرِيدُ إِبْطَالَ مَا قَبْلَهُ. It basically negates what was stated before. So here, Allah says, rather, the reality is, مَنْ كَسَبَ سَيِّئَةً. Whosoever does evil. وَأَحَاطَتْ بِهِ خَطِيئَتُهُ. And then, after that person does evil, they eventually become surrounded. And this is imagery in the Quranic language. They become surrounded by their mistakes. They become surrounded by their bad choices. They become surrounded by their sins and by the evil that they have chosen wrongly. It's kind of like we say somebody becomes inundated with the burden, weighed down. They get buried under the weight and the burden and just the multiplicity of the evil, the lies, the deception that they've engaged in. It ends up burying them. They become buried in their own evil. And that's what it's describing. Aha tatbihi khatiyatu. They become surrounded by. That's a way to say that they engage in so many lies and so much evil that now it's basically just taken over them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that once it takes over them, now they're in a very problematic situation. فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. And then they die in that condition of falsehood and evil. And then those people, أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ, they become the inhabitants of the fire of hell. هُمْ فِيَ خَالِدُونَ. And they will be therein for all of eternity. May Allah protect us all. So, this particular ayah is highlighting a couple of very important things that I wanted to take a moment to talk about. First and foremost, this kind of lie, this lying and deception and cheating and falsifying information and then furthering that lie and continuing to dig yourself deeper and deeper into that hole, it's a very problematic thing. There's a hadith in the Sahih Imam Bukhari narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, or rather, excuse me, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates an incident. He says, لما فتحت خيبر, that when Khaybar was conquered, basically there was a battle, a military expedition known as the Battle of Khaybar. When the Battle of Khaybar was over and Allah had granted the Prophet ﷺ the Muslims victory, أُهْدِيَتْ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ ﷺ مَشَاتٌ فِيهَا سَمْ. So somebody gifted some food to the Prophet ﷺ. It was like a roasted, you know, goat. And there it was poisoned. فَقَالَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ ﷺ, when they realized that Jibreel ﷺ came and stopped the Prophet ﷺ from consuming too much of it, but one Sahabi actually did eat quite a bit and he ended up dying from the poison. The Prophet ﷺ just put a little bit in his mouth, just touched it to his mouth, and Jibreel ﷺ came. It made the Prophet ﷺ feel a little sick, but nonetheless, he was stopped before it would do any more harm to him. The Prophet ﷺ said, اجمعوا لي من كان من اليهود هنا. He said, go and gather together whoever is available from these people here, the local inhabitants of Khaybar, which were a Jewish tribe, gather them. فَقَالَ لَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَنْ أَبُوكُمْ. The Prophet ﷺ said, who is your ancestor? I mean their tribe. And they said, فُلَان, it's so-and-so. The Prophet ﷺ said, كَذَبْتُمْ, you don't speak the truth. It's actually not. The originator, the ancestor of your tribe, is so-and-so. The progenitor of your tribe is so-and-so. بَلَ أَبُوكُمْ فُلَان. قَالُوا صَدَقْتَ وَبَرَرْتَ. They said, yeah, you're right. Just lying through their teeth for no reason at all. ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُمْ. Then the Prophet ﷺ said to them, هَلْ أَنْتُمْ صَادِقِيَّ عَنْ شَيْءٍ إِنْ سَأَلْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ. Will y'all tell me the truth if I ask you about something? قَالُوا نَعَمْ يَا أَبَا الْقَاسِمِ. They said, absolutely, we'll tell you the truth. وَإِن كَذَّبْنَاكَ عَرَفْتَ كِذْبَنَا. And if we lie to you, then you'll know that we're lying. كَمَا عَرَفْتَهُ فِي أَبِينَا. Like you just called us out for it. فَقَالَ لَهُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَنْ أَهْلُ النَّارِ. He said, who belongs in the fire of hell? Who will be doomed to the fire of hell? And they said, نَكُونُ فِيهَا يَسِيرًا. We might go there for a little while. ثُمَّ تَخَلَّفُونَا فِيهَا. But then, تُخَلِّفُونَا فِيهَا. But then y'all will follow us. Y'all will go to hell after us and then you will be there. فَقَالَ لَهُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ اِخْسَأُوا. The Prophet ﷺ said, be quiet. Don't speak. in this disrespectful and filthy manner, you distort and alter the religion of God. And then the Prophet said, Wallahi la nakhlufukum fiha abada. Said, we will never follow after you in the fire of hell. ثم قال لهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, هل أنتم صادقية عن شيء إن سألتكم عنه? If I ask you about something, will you tell me the truth? They said, نعم يا أبو القاسم. He said, هل جعلتم في الشاة سما? Did any one of y'all put poison in this food before delivering it? فقالوا نعم. They said, yes, someone did. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, فما حملكم على ذلك? What possessed you to do that? What caused you to? What motivated you to do that? فَقَالُوا أَرَدْنَا إِن كُنْتَ كَاذِبًا أَن نَسْتَرِيحَ مِنْكَ. They said, here was our logic, here was our thought process. If you are indeed a liar, you're a false prophet, then you'll eat the poison food and you'll die and we won't have to worry about you no more. وَإِن كُنْتَ نَبِيًّا. And if you are indeed a true prophet of God, لَمْ يَضُرُّكَ. Then God will not let some harm come to you. So you'll be fine. So that was our logic. So you see this kind of attitude and how it just twists this lying and deceiving and then sinning and distorting the religion for one's own personal gain, how it can twist and distort and dement a person's mind after some time. And this is an incident from the life of the Prophet ﷺ that illustrates this. Furthermore, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about that they did wrong, they did sin, they committed evil, and then they became surrounded by, and I had explained that it's like becoming inundated, it's like becoming buried under your own sin. That there's another narration which references a verse of the Qur'an as well. In the book of Tirmidhi, it's narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Messenger of God, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ إِذَا أَذْنَبَ ذَنْبًا. That whenever the slave of God, whenever a human being commits a sin, نُكِتَتْ فِي قَلْبِهِ نُكْتَةً سَوْدَى. That a black dot appears on his heart. فَإِنْ تَابَ وَنَزَعَ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ. And if he repents and withdraws from that sin that he was committing and asks Allah for forgiveness, سُقِلَ قَلْبُهُ, then his heart is washed. وَإِنْ عَادَتْ زَادَتْ حَتَّى تَعْلُو قَلْبَهُ. But if he goes back to doing that sin, this time that stain on the heart comes back, but even bigger than before. فَذَلِكَ الرَّأْنِ الَّذِي ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. And that is the ra'an that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in the Qur'an. That is the ra'an that Allah speaks about in the Qur'an. كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, rather, their hearts have become completely covered in disdain. Their hearts have become completely covered in disdain and have been completely just blocked off and sealed off due to their sinning. Makanu yaksibun, the sins that they used to do and the evil that they used to commit. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in another narration found in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, narrated by Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحَقِّرَاتِ الذُّنُوبِ. That be very careful and be very mindful about not engaging in sins and sinful behavior that people have the tendency to not take very seriously, and they undermine those kinds of sins, like, think, quote unquote, people call them small sins, minor sins, but not from a technical point of view. They're undermining the severity of the sin. Be very careful. فَإِنَّهُنَّ يَجْتَمِعْنَ عَلَى الرَّجُلْ حَتَّى يَهْلِكَنَّهُ. But the problem is that sometimes they can accumulate. They can accumulate, they can gather together, they can stack on top of one another until they destroy the person. until they destroy the person. The Prophet ﷺ, another narration, even gave an example. Somebody goes, there's a group of people, and they're traveling, or they're looking for a place to live or reside, and they come to a place, a location, and they settle down there, and somebody goes and gets some firewood, somebody else goes and gets more firewood, somebody goes and gets more firewood, and they keep on gathering together more and more firewood until they've built like this giant mound. And then somebody comes and lights a fire there. And it grows and it actually gets out of control and ends up burning everything down in the area. That they let the situation get away from themselves. They're trying to build a campfire and they ended up building not just a bonfire, they ended up building a forest fire. And that's the idea. That sometimes you cannot fully understand and comprehend that, oh, it's something small, it's something small, it's something small, but it's accumulating into something. It's aggregating into something bigger. Something very scary, something very problematic. And these are the warnings of the Qur'an that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us in these narrations that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us about. Now, in the next ayah, in the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ Ayah number 82. The translator writes, While those who believe and do good deeds will be the inhabitants of the garden of paradise, there to remain. Basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but there is a flip side to this situation. It doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to end this way. It doesn't have to be like this. Why? وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Those who believe in Allah and then strive to do good. Doesn't mean they're perfect. It does not mean that they're perfect. That they don't make mistakes. But they strive to do good. Righteous deeds, good deeds, the right thing. أولئك أصحاب الجنة. Those people, they will be the inhabitants of the gardens of paradise. هم فيها خالدون, and they will be therein for all of eternity, forever and ever and ever. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says something very, very beautiful when talking about this particular concept of doing good and trying hard, and how everything, as long as you believe in Allah, you do good, you try hard, you try to do the right thing, how everything eventually works out. In a hadith of Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, well, rather, a sahabi, a companion, Sufyan ibn Abdullah al-Thaqaf, he asked the Prophet ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah, قُلْ لِي فِي الْإِسْلَامِ قَوْلًا قُلْ لِي فِي الْإِسْلَامِ قَوْلًا لَا أَسْأَلُ عَنْهُ أَحَدًا بَعْدَكَ Tell me something so profoundly beneficial about Islam and about the religion of Islam, something in Islam that is so profoundly beneficial that I never have to inquire about it from anyone after you ever again. That's it. I can just basically carve this into stone. That is all the advice I would need. And the Prophet ﷺ said, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ He said, you want to know what that is? Say the following. Number one, say the following. آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ I believe in Allah. I have believed in Allah. I have put my faith in Allah. I believe in Allah. Amantu billah. Thumma istaqim. Then live your life validating that belief. Be steadfast. Live a life trying to live up to that faith. Live up to that belief. Validating that belief. Thumma istaqim. Very beautiful advice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, other places in the Quran, He tells us something similar. In Surah An-Nisa, Surah number 4, Ayahs number 123 and 124, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيِّكُمْ وَلَا أَمَانِيِّ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. That look, the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not, and the message of Allah is not based off of your wishful thinking or the wishful thinking of the people of the book. It is not based off of your wishful thinking or the wishful thinking of the people of the book. مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا, that whoever does bad, whoever does evil, whoever does wrong, يُجَزَ بِهِ, that whoever does wrong, whoever does evil, whoever does bad, يُجَزَ بِهِ, that person will be recompensed for that. That person will face and deal with the consequences of that. وَلَا يَجِدْ لَهُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا. And that person will not find, aside from God, any ally or anyone to help him. That person will find himself high and dry, as they say. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ. But whoever strives to do good, whether they be male or female, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, and they are believers in Allah, believers in God, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ, then those people, they shall enter paradise. وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ نَقِيرًا, and they will not be wronged, they will not be harmed in the least bit. Not at all. No wrong will be done to them. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be very kind and very generous and very gracious with them. So, this is precisely how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's something very beautiful about this, that this is what we saw here in the last couple of ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who do this kind of terrible behavior, they're going to be in hell. But then Allah always gives us a flip side. But if somebody believes, and somebody does the right thing, then they will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be merciful to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter them into paradise. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated by, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, when commenting on this verse, he said, مَنْ آمَنَ بِمَا كَفَرْتُمْ وَعَمِلَ بِمَا تَرَكْتُمْ مِنْ دِينِهِ فَلَهُمُ الْجَنَّةَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. Whoever believes in what you disbelieved in, and whoever acted upon the things that you discarded from your religion, they will get paradise and they will be therein for all of eternity. And as I was saying, that this balance in how we talked about the terrible things and the terrible fate of these people, but on the flip side, it talked about how people who believe and do good will be blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This perfectly illustrates the manhajul Qur'an, that the style of the Qur'an and how the Qur'an approaches these conversations. That whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about His warning, He always talks about His promise of reward. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, you know, Ahlul Shar, evil people, He also talks about Ahlul Khair, good people. Whenever Allah talks about the fire of hell, He talks about paradise as well. Because that is what wisdom requires. Because of the nature of people, that sometimes a warning is a wake-up call for a person. But then sometimes some motivation and inspiration can get a person going. That sometimes people need to be corrected about what they're doing wrong. And then sometimes they need to be inspired about what their potential is. That we see in any process of legitimate tarbiyah, development, you need both things. You need some level of accountability and seriousness. And then you also need the element of motivation and incentivizing and inspiring better behavior. And that's why the Qur'an always kind of balances this approach and the message, because it allows human beings to fully realize their potential. And the last and the final thing, as we talked about here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, how can we avoid this fate? Always come back and remind yourself of your relationship with Allah, your belief in Allah, and your accountability to your Creator, to Allah. And then strive to do good. Try to do more good than bad. And then try to do even greater good. And then eventually start targeting to decrease the bad. And you will continue to make progress. And this applies to everyone. You could be a simple everyday Muslim. You could be the scholar. You could be the pious person. You could be the one who prays all the time. Or the person who unfortunately has maybe not been so regular and consistent about their prayers. That mentality and that mindset is the same. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا صَالِحَاتِ قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to practice everything that we've said and heard. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik. Nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. So inshallah, before we conclude, and I'll take, you know, I'll try to see if there's any questions. If anyone has any questions, I'll answer some questions for a bit here. But also, before I even get to the questions, one of the things I wanted to mention is for folks who maybe attend the Tafsir class on a regular basis that we do here every Tuesday. Inshallah, later this week, we are going to enter into the blessed month of Ramadan. Like the Prophet ﷺ would say to the companions a few days before Ramadan began, قَدَ أَتَاكُمْ شَهْرٌ شَهْرٌ مُبَارَكٌ, that this month has come to you and it is a very, very blessed month. So alhamdulillah, we are approaching the month of Ramadan. So in the month of Ramadan, obviously there is a focus. This is also a tafsir class, it's related to the Quran, but there's kind of a focus in, you know, trying to achieve more goals in regards to the Quran in Ramadan. And obviously it goes without saying, this particular Ramadan is going to be very different for all of us. And so here at Qalam, we decided to take a particular approach that would be beneficial for us and also beneficial for the community out there. So inshallah, we're not going to be having these Tuesday Tafsir classes in the month of Ramadan, but rather, from the very first night of the month of Ramadan, we are going to be having a nightly Quran reading and reflections session. And what that's going to be is at 9:30 p.m. Central Time. You'll see the flyers being posted online, on Instagram, on Facebook, etc. But we're going to be getting on here every night, 9:30 p.m. Central Time, and we're going to go through an entire juz. Read the actual juz. We'll have one of the folks from Qalam, mashallah, very nice recitation, Hafiz of the Quran, who's going to be reading through the juz, and one of our scholars from Qalam will be on as well, who are going to be sharing with us a brief commentary of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about in each passage as we go through the whole juz. And this will be a nightly practice that we will be doing here online, completely free, open to the whole community. Everyone is welcome to tune in. So inshallah, keep a lookout for that. You can go to the Qalam website, qalamlive.com. You can check on here on the Facebook page, the Qalam Facebook page, my Facebook page, etc. And that's going to be every single night in the month of Ramadan, inshallah. So we invite you to that. We welcome you to that. And let's complete the whole Quran together, not just in reading, but also in understanding and reflection, inshallah, bi'idhnillah. So let's see here, inshallah, if there are any particular questions anyone has. Questions on here yet? Okay, so someone's asking, which surah do you plan on starting on doing for Ramadan, inshallah? So like I said, we're going to do the whole Quran. So we're going to start with Juz 1, Juz 2, Juz 3, Juz 4. We're going to go through the whole Quran, inshallah. Alright? Very good. And then once Ramadan is over, then we'll resume these sessions, inshallah, picking up from here from ayah number 83, inshallah, bismillah. Very good. Someone's asking, did any of the Jewish folks at that time who poisoned the Prophet ﷺ convert to Islam, and how did Prophet ﷺ interact with them after? I don't recall off the top of my head if the people who were particularly responsible for the poisoning, if any of them had accepted Islam. There were, of course, members of their community who accepted Islam, but I'm not sure about the specific individuals who were responsible. I can't recall that detail off the top of my head. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Allah knows best. Okay, any other questions, if anyone has? There's no questions, that is not a problem. Okay, someone's asking a very good question. They're asking that I heard that there was a I was told that there was a benefit to reading Suratul Mulk after Maghrib each day. Is that true? I was told that there was a benefit to reading Suratul Mulk after Maghrib each day. Is that true? Yes, absolutely. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, first of all, that was a regular practice of his, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also told us that anyone who does that, Suratul Mulk will be a protection for them in their grave. One narration also says it will intercede on that person's behalf on the Day of Judgment. It will be a means of their salvation. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. So, Sister Fusaina, I said your name correctly. One of our students, mashallah, is asking a question. Could you please elaborate? I added the please part because it's more polite. Could you please elaborate or explain / review of translation of the word bal? And lowercase j, capital A, lowercase k. I think that means jazakallahu khairan. I hope you were able to utilize all the time you saved with that abbreviation. So, could you elaborate or explain, review a brief translation of the word bal? So, the word bala, which we saw here, it occurs when there is a negative statement that is said previously, and then basically you want to state the obvious. You want to affirm something. The statement was negating something and you want to affirm it. Okay? So that's when the word bala is used. So it kind of translates as rather. However, the word bal in the Arabic language also similar, but bala is something that can like stand alone. It's a conclusive response, kind of like na'am. Yes, that's it. You don't have to say anything after that. It's a solid response, all right? An all-inclusive response. The word bal necessitates more elaboration. So if someone says that ja'a zaydun, zayd came, zayd arrived, okay? But then you want to correct it and you want to say it's the opposite, or you say ma ja'a zayd, zayd did not come. You say bal ja'a, rather he did come. So it's more like a response, it's more like a retort. But the other difference is that bal can also be used after a positive statement. Ja'a zayd, zayd came, zayd arrived, and you say bal amrun, no, zayd did not come, amr came instead. So anyways, I'm sorry to bore everyone. I hope you're happy, Sister Fusaina, for asking your nerdy grammar question and for melting everyone's brains in the process. All right. Someone's asking, where can we find the recordings of the previous classes of Tafsir? Two places. As someone stated, you can go back on the Facebook page and you can look them up. It'll be a little bit more annoying and a little bit more difficult. The other thing that you can do is go to the Qalam podcast. Go to the Qalam podcast. Qalaminstitute.org, you'll find the podcast there. The Tafsir podcast is what you're looking for. If you have an iPhone, iOS device, we have a lovely app, a beautiful app that was made by some really amazing brothers, mashallah. They made it, you know, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that's why we've made it available to the whole community for free as well. And that has all the Qalam podcast recordings by series. So you can go to the App Store, look for the Qalam app, and then inshallah you can get it from there as well. All right, if that is it in terms of questions, Jazakumullah khairan. Barakallahu feekum. Thank you very much, everyone, for, you know, coming here today and, you know, spending some time with us learning the Qur'an. And remember, inshallah, from the first night of Ramadan, keep a lookout for that. We'll be going through the whole Qur'an together. Jazakumullah khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.